1894. Continuing with life in San Antonio, my parents lived in Los Gatos, California, and Margaret and Alan lived in San Francisco at this time. Alan had been unable to get work of any length after he left the Merchant Marine. He was untrained and unskilled. While he had a brilliant mind, he had little education, and there were no jobs during the Depression. Alan's brother lived in Salt Lake City and worked for a company and had a very stable job. And he told Alan and Margaret if they would move to Salt Lake City, he could place Alan in a job there in his company. But Alan and Margaret had been looking after mother and dad, going to Los Gatos occasionally to see that they were all right. And so this was a problem. Margaret suggested that we move mother and dad to San Antonio, as we all felt that Lewis would be permanently placed there, and Margaret and Alan, it was uncertain what would happen in Salt Lake City. So I went out to Los Gatos and prepared to move mother and dad. We got rid of most of their belongings, which was very sad. I cry when I think how difficult it was for mother. Her home was her refuge, and they had built their home in Avoca over the years with thrift, hard work, love, and joy. And each time she moved, she gave up more of this. Her life was her home and her children. It seems now that it would have been better for them to let Margaret and me go and make our lives wherever we wished, and for them to stay in Avoca and welcome our visits. But that's in hindsight. Lewis found an apartment for mother and dad not far from us. Continuing. In the spring, I became pregnant, but experienced difficulty immediately and had to have a DNC to terminate the pregnancy. In the fall of 1935, I found a position as a teacher in a small country day school, private school. I earned $40 a month, but it enabled us to move to a small house that was much more comfortable. Mother did not fare very well physically, and the doctor suggested they move in with us, which they did. The practice was not flourishing, and the Depression showed no signs of abating. Lewis wrote to friends at Harvard and Boston Children's Hospital for advice. Dr. Blackfan suggested he get in touch with the Children's Bureau in D.C., which often had interesting positions. Lewis did that and found they were setting up a program for well baby clinics in northeastern Oklahoma in conjunction with the Oklahoma Health Department, and Lewis was accepted for that post. January 2, 1994. A few words about some possessions that you might like to know about. The little black iron pot came along with the family when they moved from Virginia to Iowa in 1859. It was called Happy's Little Pot. Mother's grandfather was somewhat of a tyrant and ruled the roost over everyone. He didn't like the big pot of food prepared for the family along the way and had to have his own private meals, which were made in the little pot. some of the old dishes that I have were given to Mother by Grandma Bush. When Mother was old enough to earn some money, she went to work for a little family hotel in Oakland run by the Bird family. Mrs. Bird's mother was Mrs. Bush. The dishes include the blue and black plates on the wall and the wall and the blue damaged teapot. In the cupboard is a blue cup and saucer and a bowl and saucer with red sailing ships. Looking at the other objects in the living room, the Chinese water pipe was one of my early purchases when I arrived in Peking. The first thing I bought in Peking, I went to a fair and purchased the wood and brass box on my dresser in the bedroom. It was called a missi box by the foreigners who lived there. I bargained for it, which I didn't know how to do very well, and was pleased that I was able to get a good price. Along the shelf, next are some glasses. The goblets, thumbprint goblets, were some of Mother's family, as was the covered cracker jar. Also in the cupboard was a pair of goblets with floral design that were in her family, as well as pressed glass dessert dishes and a pressed glass bread plate. The figure of Guan Yin was purchased in Peking with money that Tassie sent for a wedding present. The little hobnail glasses, blue and yellow, were given to Margaret and me when we were children by an elderly English woman who lived in our neighborhood. The pewter three-leg covered bowl and the tea caddy beside it were given to me by Eleanor Shaw, one of my students. Her parents were missionaries in the American Board Mission. The two little cloisonne vases with dragons were also given to me by a student. The grayish-green bowl, which is a celadon bowl, was given to me by the president of the Chinese National YWCA for a wedding gift. Celadon is a glaze used on stone and porcelain ware and is highly prized in the artworks of China. The black vase, inlaid vase, is Chinese but was not one of my purchases. It was brought to Mother from China by her aunt, her sister Emma, who is a missionary in China. On the wall, the stone rubbing was made by Margaret and Alan's niece, who lived in England, and the little oriental picture of a village in Laos was given to me by a Laotian woman with whom I worked in the refugee center, and this was some of her work. Continuing on January 2nd, 1994, this may be repetition, as I have some notes. I don't know whether I recorded them or not. When we came home from China, my parents lived in Los Gatos, and Margaret and Alan lived in San Francisco, where they could go and oversee Mother and Dad's welfare. Alan had never been able to get any kind of job after he left the Merchant Marine. He had no experience in shore jobs, no education, although he had a brilliant mind. He had no public education and no experience. So he was without work most of the time. He had a brother in Salt Lake City who who told Alan if they would move to Salt Lake City, he could get him a job in the company where he worked. So, what about Mother and Dad? Margaret suggested it would be better for them to come and live in San Antonio because we were probably permanently settled there, which was probably true, or we thought so at the time. So I went to Los Gatos and helped sell Mother and Dad's belongings and got ready to move them to San Antonio. I cry when I think how difficult this was for Mother. Her home was her joy and her refuge. The home in Avoca had been built and improved over the years with thrift and hard work and love and joy. Her life was her home and her children. It seems now that it would have been better for them to let Margaret and me go and make our lives wherever we wished, and for them to stay in Avoca and welcome our visits. But that's in hindsight. Lewis found a small furnished apartment for Mother and Dad, not too far from us. In the spring, I became pregnant, but experienced difficulty immediately and had to have a DNC to terminate the pregnancy. In the fall of 1935, I found a position as teacher in a small private country day school. I earned $40 a month, but it enabled me to move to a small house that was more comfortable. Mother did not fare well physically, and the doctor suggested that they move in with us, which they did. The practice was not flourishing, and the depression showed no signs of abating. Lewis wrote to his friends in Harvard and Boston Children's Hospital for advice. Dr. Blackfan suggested that he get in touch with the Children's Bureau in Washington, D.C. They often had positions that were promising for young doctors. They were setting up a program for well baby clinics in Northeast Oklahoma in conjunction with the Oklahoma Health Department, and Lewis was offered this position, and he accepted that post. Mother and Dad married in 1894 and went to live on a small farm near Oakland, Iowa. Grandmother and Aunt Martha lived with them. Mother said one day Grandmother walked across the fields to a nearby farm and came home with the golden oak clock that sits in my bedroom, ticking the time over the years. My father wound it every Sunday morning.